Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department that backs it all up. Routine to difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Time now to open the show and take it down the rabbit hole. Ladies and gentlemen, the Macatrillo rant of the day.
Oh, we got a couple rabbit holes today. I guess we'll start first with what I believe is now the most childish and perhaps hypocritical organization right now in Major League Baseball, and that is the Toronto Blue Jays. From everything that they've done in this series against the Yankees, with everything that happened with Aaron Judge yesterday that we talked about, they've now taken it to a new level after what happened last night between the back and forth, the childish back and forth, with where the third base coaches should have been for the Yankees, when the fact that their own third base coach was out of the third base coach's box further than where the Yankees coach was, and they stopped the game to make sure the Yankees coach was in the third baseman's coach box. That's not even worse. What's worse is the starting pitcher from yesterday, or 2 days ago, when Aaron Judge had the side issue, that was nothing, then comes out and sets the record straight and says he was tipping the pitches. It was his fault that Aaron Judge hit a 462-foot home run after he looked into the Yankee dugout. So we've gone from falsely accusing the Yankees of cheating to now looking absolutely dumb and childish. So whose shoe is on the other foot now, Toronto?
Is this the same organization whose starting pitcher got thrown out of the game last night?
I'm also going to get to that.
I mean, he got thrown out because he was cheating again. That's two.
And he absolutely deserved it.
And as for Judge, who said he cheated? Who?
They made it quite clear. I thought it was unusual. John Schneider, the Blue Jays manager. It looked pretty unusual what he did last night. Read the room.
That's not calling. That's not saying he's cheating. It was unusual.
I believe it is.
What the hell's wrong with you? God, it's just every time it's your guy, you get too like, it's Aaron Judge, it's Joel Embiid. Stop it.
I would say this with anybody, though.
No, you wouldn't. You got to stop, okay? Because, look, okay? I mean, what are you going to say? Dan Shulman and Buck Martinez are unprofessional? I read what they said. I heard what they said. They weren't unprofessional. They said, it's different than he hit it. That's all he said.
I'm fine with what they said on the broadcast. I have a problem with the Blue Jays manager. The broadcast is just seeing what they're seeing. I have no problem with what they did with Dan Shulman. Dan Shulman's one of the best to ever do it. I just have a problem with the Blue Jays manager setting up this false precedent that was out there and then being hypocritical when his own guy was doing the same thing. And then, oh, by the way, his pitcher actually said that, it was my fault. I was tipping my pitches. How about you talk to your pitcher first before you go out and talk to the media? Maybe they do that differently north of the border.
Wow. Boy. Imagine this were a Texas Rangers game against Kansas City. Would you say a word? I mean,
I
seriously,
would, yes.
because it's Aaron Judge. It's, I mean, it's always, it's Judge, it's Embiid. It's like, you know, after a while, it's like, I'm kind of
I was the same thing with Max Scherzer. When this is the same thing before, I'm always consistent with these things. If things come up, I'll go after you about it. I went after Max Scherzer. I went after Domingo Herman. I will again today. I've been consistent with these things.
You don't like Herman. You're in total infatuation with Aaron Judge.
I was fair on Scherzer. I went after him for that.
Fair on Judge? Are you ever fair on Judge?
Yeah, see, he stunk in the postseason last year. I've said that many times.
He's stunk in the postseason almost every year.
He's worth it to keep to extend, because that's what the Yankees have to have any shot of winning anything. But he hasn't done well in the postseason. He needs to step up his game. There's no question.
Okay.
But he was falsely accused of cheating. 100%. Domingo Herman deserves to be suspended. And in my mind, shouldn't be pitching at all anymore, because obviously he doesn't get it.
Yeah, he's probably going to get 10 games.
Yeah.
Which will be basically a start.
He shouldn't be back, period. But I would say that for anybody. If Garrett Cole had done that again, when Garrett Cole, when all that happened with him, with his spider tack issue, I was all over him for that. When the Yankees had that bench issue last year after the second Astros thing came out, I was all over them. I said it was cheating.
Wait, a lot of stuff sure says surround one team, doesn't it? Well, at least you're playing on the road.
Fair enough. It's been working. Yankees are taking both games.
At least you're finally playing on the road. What is this, the fourth time you played on the road all year? It's like, it's May 17th.
I'll have to talk to Major League Baseball about that one.
You played four road games and 44 home games?
I agree. I don't understand that either. Because guess what? All that's going to add up eventually. So, yeah, it should be balanced.
Yeah, where are you guys, fourth place?
Correct.
Wow, that's really paid off. All right, terrific.
Hence why I'm on edge about this Yankee team, because they've underachieved so far. There's no question about it.
I mean, look, he's tipping his sliders, by the way, is what he's doing.
Yes.
And, you know, and what the Yankees are doing, as long as it's not electronic, it's legal. If it's electronic, it's illegal. If it's not, it's legal. Just so everybody knows. So, you know, now as for being in the box, why bother putting the little rectangles out there?
I don't have a problem with telling coaches to stay in the box. Just do it for both coaches. That's all. I'm not asking for much there.
I mean, why put the rectangles out there?
That's fine. If you want to regulate that and be stricter about it a little bit more, that's fine. But make it consistent. Especially when the Blue Jays coach was more egregiously out of the box than the Yankees coach was.
I don't have a tape measure. Don't care.
You don't need a tape measure. Just look at pictures on social media. It's clear as day. You don't need a tape measure.
I don't care where he's... You know what, Matt? I don't care where they stand. I mean, seriously. You want to know why I don't care where they stand? If there's a right-handed hitter up, I don't mind him standing further back, because I'm trying to protect him. Okay?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I could care less. If Vladimir Guerrero's at the plate, you know, I prefer him standing further back. It's all about, you know, it's all about safety to me. So, you know, that's doesn't matter to me. I do a lot. Although I'll say this, in the league I do, the coaches pretty much stay in the box. They're pretty, or you know, or if they're out of the box, they're like no more than 3 or 4 feet. Majors, those guys are all over the place. You know, it's up to the umpires to enforce that stuff. But I do get concerned with guys pulling a pitch and like, hey, balls going out there, pretty good velocity toward that spot. I mean, that's why they wear helmets now. I think there was a what is it, one of the base coaches in the Rangers organization? This has to be like 5-6 years ago. Got hit. And that's when they started making them wear helmets as base coaches. It's not the easiest spot to man. But geez, yeah, every time something happens with Aaron Judge, it's all this drama. I mean, geez, it's always drama surrounding one guy. You know, Cole's got problems, Herman's got problems, people are wondering about Judge got problems, the whole thing. I mean, there's a big wide world out there, Matt. You know, there's just 29 other teams.
I am aware.
I mean, it's a big wide world. I don't know if you're aware.
Just as bad as the Phillies trying to hit with runners in scoring position. Believe me, I know the feeling.
Big problem. By the way, the Pirates are winning 8-0 today over the Tigers. This is the first time in 15 games the Pirates have scored more than 5 runs. You want to know why I knew that? Know that? Any guess? There's a big wide world out there, Matt. It's more than just one team. It's a big wide world. Oh, God. Yeah. Verlander booed it as Mets fall at Citi Field. Oh, no. Drowned out by booze. I guess it was his debut in Queens. He gave up 6 runs, 8 hits, 2 home runs, struck out 3, walked 2, and an 8-5 loss to Tampa Bay. Wow. Yeah. Let's see here. Where does everybody stand here? Oh, the Yankees are in fourth place. All right. That's good. Jeez, they play 26 home games. Woo. They lead the major leagues in home games. That's a lot of home games. Holy mackerel. Wow. Think you'd have a better record playing all those home games, didn't you?
That would be the logical point, but, you know, hasn't gone that way for the Yankees right now.
So we got Dodgers are up 3 on Arizona, 7 up on San Diego. And again, San Diego, all that money they've spent, they're 2-8 their last 10. Milwaukee's 2 up on Pittsburgh. The Cardinals are in last place. Atlanta's 5 up on Miami. The Phillies are 6 back. The Phillies are finally at least playing some home games, which has helped, but they've also lost 3 in a row. Texas is 3 up on Houston. And the Angels are over 500. They're 4.5 back. Mariners are 500. They're 5 back. The A's are awful. The A's have been outscored by 159 runs. Ugh. Brutal. There's nobody else over 100. In terms of being outscored. In fact, there's nobody else over 66. There are 159 runs out there. They've given up 359 runs. Twins are 3.5 up on the Tigers, but the Twins are the only team in the Central that's over 500. Everybody in the American League East is over 500. Tampa Bay's 4.5 up on the Orioles. And the Orioles have played 5 fewer home games than the Yankees. Wow. I think everybody's played 5 to 10 fewer home games than the Yankees. You guys play a lot of home games.
Yeah, very frustrating.
No, I'm not that frustrated. It's kind of fun watching you guys lose. All right.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Twins and Dodgers scoreless bottom of the first, and the Reds and Rockies scoreless at the bottom of the first. Everything else, and Arizona and Oakland play this afternoon. Phillies Giants this afternoon in San Francisco. Royals Padres this afternoon. Oh, and the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Oh, Captain Spider Tax on the mound tonight. You guys have a lot of problems.
Oh, my almighty!
You have a lot of guys that circumvent the rules. Are you worried about that?
Yeah, a little bit.
I always loved this thing, matchup predictor. Right? That's the ESPN thing. They do that with football. They do that. So they have matchup predictor. So tonight, Toronto with Chris Bassitt against Gerrit Cole. So who is the winner in the matchup predictor?
I'm guessing Gerrit Cole.
Has the Toronto 50.1%, the Yankees 49.9%. Okay. That's your matchup predictor, Matt.
Yeah, there's a reason why I never pay attention to that.
I'll see it because you'll go to a game because you want to see who's pitching. And I'll go, oh, for goodness sakes. Let's see who comes up with this stuff. Pirates are going to win today. They're up 8-0 top of the ninth. Whew. Bucks have been doing okay. I mean, they've been I mean, they're not in first place any longer. They're still over 500, but this will be a good win for them today. Brian Reynolds, 3-for-5. McCutcheon's 2-for-5. Castro's 2-for-3. He's done a good job with it because they've been doing this with O'Neill Cruz. And Rich Hill, who's a pro, as a pitcher, I mean, he throws as hard as Luke does. You know, and I know you love your kid, but he doesn't throw hard. I mean, seriously, he's got no fastball. Right. 6 innings and been good again. 3.80 ERA. And I think is Hill, he's in his 40s, right? He is 43 years old. Yikes. God, he's only 12 years older than Aaron Judge.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
How many years you give Judge? Was he going to be 90 when this contract's up?
It may feel like that in playing years.
I have a dog. My dog's in dog years. Is not. All right. Got a lot to talk about. We got Mike Gross coming up, and then I want to get into the NBA lottery. Spurs won it. Victor Wembanyama, who's everybody's touting as the next great thing in the NBA. 7'5", 7'6", with guard skills. Wow. 7'5", 7'6", with guard skills. And then the other guys that lead the draft, Brandon Miller, obviously, we've seen play on TV at Alabama. But all these guys that are in the G League, Ignite, and so forth. Like there's the Thompson twins, Henderson. I couldn't tell you, Matt, in a million years what any of them really can do because I've never seen them play. Never seen them play. So, I don't know. Don't know. All right, we'll take a break. Matt has to go light a candle at the Aaron Judge Shrine. Oh, I don't understand. I don't get it. Oh, well. How many home runs behind Babe Ruth is he? I'm asking for a friend.
At least a little under 500 now, because he hit 200 last year, and that was in July. So, upper 400s.
I don't think he's going to get there. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All right!
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee and a fabulous service department. Great technicians to back it all up for the life of the vehicle. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Let's bring in the outstanding Mike Gross. Mike, I was just down in Lancaster on Friday. It's great to hear from you.
Good to be with you, Steve, as always. How are you?
Doing great. Off season's always interesting. We see where Penn State sits right now in a lot of different areas. So, what's your thought on this football team right now? Is they're really into the now that they have the transfers are on campus? Cephas is here, Ford's here. Trey Potts is here. What do you think about this team?
Well, it's interesting because I thought James Franklin talked an awful lot in the spring about having to find another wide receiver or two, and I kept thinking, is he almost like not counting Cephas? I thought that was a little strange, and they do have to get more depth at wide receiver, but that's just one example, I think. We all know the position groups where they're going to be really good. I think a defensive end, for example, they're going to be as good as anybody in the country. And there's some. I still am concerned about defensive tackle. The very interior right over the ball kind of thing. With Mustafa's absence. And I think people haven't talked about that much. Would be a concern. There's a lot to like about this football team. It's only May, but there's a lot of talent, a lot of athletes, a lot of depth, and of course the young man at quarterback that everybody is going to have their eyes on in a couple of months.
Yeah, and just so everybody understands, to Mike's point about with Cephas, James couldn't talk about him because he wasn't officially in yet.
What I'm saying is he was talking about having to find more wide receivers as if he didn't exist. Maybe I'm just imagining that. I don't know, but that's all I'm saying.
I mean, when you watch Drew, because you mentioned Aller, what have you thought watching him? Because I mean, obviously we're gonna have to see him play in meaningful games, but what do you think?
Well, he's such a big kid. I mean, he's big all over, big thighs, big everything. That I think he is more mobile and athletic than maybe it looks to the casual eye, just because he's so big that he doesn't look like he's moving fast. I don't think some of my colleagues think his mobility is going to be an issue. I don't think it is. I think he's got good feel for that kind of Tom Brady-esque mobility within the pocket that they talk about. I think that's critically important. And he's not really a dual threat quarterback. That's not what we're talking about here. It's a different deal. But you know, there's a lot to like, and I don't think that anybody who has a problem with it, with him looking at him physically, would be the mobility issue, and I don't think that's much of an issue.
Yeah, neither do I, Mike. And the reason is, and this is what I've told people, he moves better than people realize he does.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And,
yeah.
And you watch him, and like when it's time to take off and go, he'll take off and go. This is not a scrambler. He's not going to be able to buy all this time. But when it's time to take off and go, Drew can take off and go, which is terrific.
And he showed some of that in the blue-white game. And I realize it's the blue-white game, but I think he showed some of that,
What do you think of the Beaver Stadium renovations and what they would like to do with it, just based on what you've heard about so far?
Well, I would really like to hear some upgrading of the press box.
Yeah. I was talking about that today.
I'm serious about that. One of the funniest thing about, if you remember the Paterno movie where Al Pacino portrayed Joe, the funniest thing about that whole thing was the depiction of the Beaver Stadium press box like it was a sports bar or something. I thought that was delightful. But anybody who's ever been in that press box thought it was delightful. But you know, I mean, I think it's probably needed. I think the people who think they should build a new stadium are being a little unrealistic. Maybe the idea of decreasing the capacity a little bit and making it a little more user friendly, I think that's a pretty good idea. And apparently the plan is it's still going to seat 100,000, which is sort of like that. That's meaningful to people, I think, in a weird way. Mm-hmm. So, it's easy to say, well, I don't know why it took this long, I'm good with it. I think it's a stadium that doesn't look super impressive from the outside. And maybe even sprucing up the look of it is something that's worth doing.
Right. Yeah, I know that. I mean, you know, these things don't sound sexy, but better bathrooms, better concessions, wider concourses in the middle and the bottom. I mean, those are all fan-friendly. I'll tell you one quick story about the press box. Now, they have fixed all this since this story. Because they actually put some money into the press box, like
they did, yeah, mm-hmm.
four or 5 years ago.
Yep.
But at one point we had warped ceiling tiles up in the broadcast booth.
Right.
And you know they'll bring fans into the booth during the course of the game, and and I could care less as long as they're not standing in front of me, Mike. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Right. So I'm calling a play and Penn State gets a touchdown. It was against Michigan. And one of the fans jumped up, and we had this warped ceiling tile, and he jumped up, and he hit the tile, and it popped out, and it came down and popped me on the head.
While Jack was talking,
I put it back up while Jack was talking.
Now you're versatile. You're nothing if not versatile.
If nothing, I mean, jack of all trades, master of none.
There you go.
How many questions do you get from fans, Mike, about the transfer portal and about NIL?
A lot, really a lot. And I get some really intelligent. I have a good group of readers who are Penn State fans and want. Penn State fans, but not crazy fanatical, want me to try to explain things to them. I've written a lot about the NIL stuff, and I've written a lot about the portal, and a lot of questions. A lot of people are dubious about it. A lot of people think one thing I hear a lot is, well, how's the left guard going to feel if the running back's getting something and he's not? That kind of thing. I get a lot of questions about that, and again, I think it's an important thing. So I've spent a lot of time on it. I've spent a lot of time trying to trying to explain it and trying to understand it so that I can explain it.
Yeah, because when I've done a bunch of speeches out on the road the last month, and I would say nearly half of the questions deal with the transfer portal and NIL, and I was asked about that, the left guard versus the running back thing.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I said, there's one easy way to solve that. It's called film and evaluation and gradings on Sunday. Problem solved. Problem solved.
You know, people just, I think people with the transfers, I think people, just the word portal, people think that makes it sound like a brand new thing. And of course, the rules are new, but if really what we were dealing with was, well, the NCAA had tweaked the transfer rules, well, that would be. So something about that word portal that I think makes people kind of roll their eyes or something. But, you know, I think the portal, honestly, it makes it a little more interesting. It makes the whole thing a little more interesting. It makes managing your roster, as from the coaching staff standpoint, more complicated and more interesting. And, you hate to see the idea of these sort of vagabond players who transferred multiple times. But on the other hand, there's opportunity for teams and for players to improve their situation. So I'm okay.
Mike, have you and your thought process about NIL, your thought process about the portal, have you thought of ways to solve it? Any solutions, or is it too tough a nut to crack?
The NIL thing. When you say how to solve it, you're assuming. I assume what you mean is that it's kind of become a recruiting weapon, where you're making an offer to a kid that is heavily influenced by NIL. So how do you solve that? I don't know how you solve that, because that's one of those things that it's almost like it's just people really, really want to win, and they'll find a way. You could draw a straight line. I've written this before. You could draw a straight line from Rutgers against Princeton in 1887 or whenever that was to right now and NIL and all that stuff. And the thing that has driven that line for over a century is people really love this stuff, and they really, really, really want to win at it. That's all there is. That's what it comes to.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, exactly. Well, look, if you ever get a chance, read Dave Revson's book, Looking Back at the Roots of College Football, like the late 1800s, early 1900s, and you know what you'll find? There isn't much difference between then and now. That's what really is crazy about it, Mike. You read it and go, oh, really, things haven't changed all that much.
As I understand it, in those very early days, the game was, people were worried about the violence in the game to the extent where, isn't it true that Teddy Roosevelt suggested making football illegal or something like that?
Yes, you're right. You're exactly right, Mike.
Yeah, way back.
Way back when.
Yep,
if that was proposed now, people would take to the streets. Like, now.
Yeah, really.
Exactly. I will say this. Has the portal, and maybe NIL to the point, but the portal made your off-season job more interesting?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I look at it all the time, and it's almost something like an analog to free agency in pro sports. And that's a little distasteful, I think, to most people when we're talking about college sports. But I think it's made it more interesting. And you obviously, I think you you recruit, if that's the right word, recruit for positional need more in the portal, whereas when you're recruiting high school kids, you're recruiting upside and potential and athleticism and all that. Although, you know, positional, it's football, so of course positional specific stuff is important. But I would say that it has made it more interesting, and I would also say that it hasn't been the kind of thing that has just driven me bananas the way it would be if I was working for one of these recruiting sites and living with it every single day. I have other stuff, so it's not the kind of thing where I'm going too far down the rabbit hole.
Mike, it's always a lot of fun for me to talk with you. You know that. Thanks a lot for your time.
Appreciate it again today. All right.
Thanks,
Mike.
Enjoyed
it, Steve, as always. See ya.
Mike Gross joining us. What was so great about talking to Mike, Matt?
Well, Mike's the man. I love Mike.
I just felt like it was a Yankee free zone. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WK. All right. We'll talk a little Penn State coming up on Saturday. I'm in Elysburg Saturday morning. Knoebels. Guess they're going to have, 10 different Penn State clubs there or something like that, right?
I believe so, yeah. The chapter here in the area, the Greater Susquehanna Valley chapter of the Penn State Alumni Association is running it.
Yes, and I will be there Saturday morning. And so that'll be, 4 and 4 weeks as we make the rounds here. And I've enjoyed all of them so far. And it's fun to interact with people. At least, you know, for me it is. It's fun. I don't know if it's fun for the fans, but it's fun for me. I enjoy it. Getting to hear people. And I think there isn't a single question I've been asked so far where I sat back and go, what the heck was that? They've all been good, thoughtful questions. It's, you know, great fans out there. Great fans. And more of the same coming up on Saturday. Then, let's see, I'm trying to think. There's Coaches versus Cancer on the 1st and 2nd. Then Mike Rhodes and I go to Scranton on the 8th. And then I've got back-to-back nights the last week of June where I'm in Hazleton, I think, on the 28th. In Johnstown on the 29th. So, yeah. And I know Jack and I are going to do Duquesne Club again in Pittsburgh. And so, but I've had a good time with it. Yeah, it's one thing. You know, remember, during the, obviously, it's taken a while for some of this stuff to come back after the pandemic. And I think people have gone all out, and that's why I think there have been more requests, because people are like, hey, let's get together, let's do something. And everybody's been having fun. Everybody's been having a good time. The crowd's been great, and I'm looking forward to Saturday and being there. And, you know, and I mean, what are the odds I'm going to get an Aaron Judge question? I'm sorry. He can't play corner.
I think they're probably going to be slim to none.
Imagine how relaxed I'll be. I don't have to deal with that. Wow. Are you out of rants?
Oh, I got one more Sixers-related rant after hearing Daryl Morey today.
Oh, no. More Sixers rants. This is about James Harden?
A little bit of that, yes, but just overall, it's the overall tone of the press conference that I was not impressed with.
Again, when I look at Doc Rivers, I'm all kidding aside, like, there's a list of issues. Like, let's just say there's a dozen issues. Doc's like 10 on that list. I mean, he's not the issue as to why they're not winning at key times. He's not the issue. Right? But it was the easiest one to make, so they made it.